Hey, what's going on? Welcome to another episode of Comics on the Spot, the improvised comic book podcast. I'm one of your hosts, John Bernardo. With me, I got Mr. Sam Owen.
Hello.
And I got on the other side, Darren Vogt, spelt with GT, not TE. Get it right.
Ooh, slick.
Just make sure the people know. Making sure the people know that I don't want them to get it wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah, more often than not, people are.
Origin. What's the origin of that?
It's some butchering somewhere down the line of like Vought and Voight, like V-A-U-G-H-T and V-O-I-G-H-T.
Okay.
Somewhere down the line, it got mashed potatoed into V-O-G-T, and I don't know why.
And we have a very special guest today. We have Stephanie Vlucha. Did I say that right?
Yeah, you're good.
Sweet. Hey, Stephanie, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me here. I'm very excited.
We are very excited to have you. Your art is fantastic. So when I first
thank you.
Thought, I was very excited to get you on here. So yeah, we are excited.
Thank you so much. I'm okay.
For people that are listening for the very first time, our show is we generate a random sentence and we make a comic book out of it. And sometimes it's one page, sometimes it's two page, sometimes it's three page. And sometimes it's overly ambitious and it causes everyone a lot of stress. But we all have fun at the same time, don't we, guys?
No matter what.
Yes.
to a fault.
So, yes. So Stephanie, as our special guest, could you give us a little bit of background on where you came from and just your history with illustrating and comic work?
Oh my gosh. Wow, at the very beginning. I guess
all the way.
The very beginning. Well, I mean, I feel like it's kind of the whole like cliche of like, oh, I've been drawing since like I was small, but like that has been the case, especially because when I first came to America, comics were like the main reason I even learned English. Mm-hmm. So like that has been like a huge like influence as to why, like, you know, line is the key visual to like, I feel like, you know, like you have the line as language and letters, but also line as language and drawings. And it's just, I don't know, I feel like that whole thing. But yeah, and skip a few years later, went to school for it, and now I'm here.
Where are you from, if I may ask?
I'm from this very, very tiny country called Albania.
Oh yeah, where's that?
It's in the Balkan region. It's like a little nook.
Oh wow, my geography is so horrible. I have
no one knows about it. It's fine.
Honestly, I don't think anybody's geography is more terrible than mine. The city I've lived in my entire life, I still can't get around. It's not that big either.
God same. I have a horrible sense of direction.
I remember when I was younger, it would be all right, so turn right at the red house. All right. And if you see the TD Bank, you've gone too far.
Yeah.
Using whatever you can. Just to kind of describe what's around you. It's like, but what street is it? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Go figure now that I could just drive around the city like it's nothing.
I think I've just always been scarred by the fact that you can say all right, right there, take a left.
Oh wow.
There's like
I was trying to figure
18
out where you're going
different
with that.
Ways to say right, but it doesn't necessarily mean direction.
Yeah.
We're messed up here.
A lot?
I don't know. I probably. It's one of those dumb, fun things that I like to bring up every chance I can. I don't know how true it is that it has affected me. I like to say that it has.
It's traumatized you, hasn't it? You got some PTSD from it.
You have plenty of times where I'm in the car and the passenger will point. Like the depth perception is like really bad to tell whether they're pointing left or right because they're on my right, but like, you know, everything I see is like the finger pointing just like forward. I can't tell where they're pointing. I don't know if I'm the only person that's had that problem and I'm just talking like a crazy person.
I feel like you might be.
I think we even have
Even if I have someone else in the car, I'll still use Siri just because, like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, for they did a recent update where, like, I guess people were getting confused where they'll say, like, after the next light, take a left or whatever. Like, they'll be very specific about the kind of directions they give, because I'm really bad at taking and receiving directions as well. So
I got to say one thing about directions. I use Waze. Do you use it too?
I know so many people that use it solely because, like, not to snitch on them, I guess, but they speed very constantly and they always keep an eye on the little, like, cop icon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I use it because it's good at finding side streets and side roads, you know, when there's a lot of traffic, and it keeps, since it's kind of community driven, it's updated very often. Mm-hmm. At the same time, that means people are driving and updating it.
Yeah. It's really cool.
It is. But the most annoying thing it does is when you arrive somewhere and it'll say, you've arrived. In 3 minutes, turn right. It's like saying, you're about to arrive. They change the wording every time. It's like, you've arrived.
Oh, so you have not arrived. They're lying to you.
It's like, you've arrived in 3 minutes. It's like, okay, so I will arrive. I don't know who taught you, but I will arrive in 3 minutes. Anyways, random conversation. Let's get our random sentence here, people. Steph, as our guest, can you please pick a number between 1 and 10?
I'm gonna pick 5.
Okay. Well, I have generated a list of 10, and I'm going to look for number 5. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Ooh. Now, Steph, I don't know your age, but I do know, and I'm not going to ask, but I do know that, because that's rude, but I do know Jared and Sam were probably roughly in the same age. So maybe this one.
Do you know that? Guys.
Steph, you might get this one. I think so. Maybe I'm the oldest person here. I'm 35. I'm turning 35 next month.
I'm 32.
I'm 63.
Oh, I knew it.
I'm very old.
I'm 25.
Okay. Okay, yeah. So you might, you're still, Steph, you still might in the age group that you might have this one, but All right, here we go. I'm going to stop the link. When confronted with a rotary dial phone, the teenager was perplexed.
Okay.
Oh, that's cool. That's a fun one.
So I put it in our chat just in case someone forgets it, because it is a long one. So when confronted with a rotary dialed phone, the teenager was perplexed.
How many pages were you shooting for on this one?
Let's see. I checked, Steph, you said you're comfortable with doing 3 pages. Is that still okay?
Yep. Whatever everybody wants to do. 1, 2, 3. I'm good.
Cool. Awesome. Let's jump to the 3. How are we going to take a young hipster finding a rotary dial phone? What's our scenario here? And Steph, since you've heard the other episodes, you know that we never like to go for the obvious scenario, or like take the obvious scenario and go as far away from that as possible.
Right.
So, yeah.
I like to take that obvious idea, throw it up in the air, and shoot it.
Damn. That's fair. Oh, that's fun. Because, like, the visuals of a rotary dial phone, like, they're cool. You could do so much with that. It doesn't necessarily have to be, like, you know, as you said, like, what you see.
Yeah,
some
exactly.
of these look, they look, like, in a really kind of, I guess, I don't know, they kind of look very, like, if you could push it to be very sci-fi.
Ooh.
Have you ever
It could be really one? Cute. No, I have, but, you know, like, I just, there's just, like, I know that people very often, like, there's, like, the old, oh, ancient, like they, like, go back to the very classical style of them, but I'm just, like, you could, you know, you could do so much with that. I love, like, right there, like, the, sorry, I'm looking at a few images of them, but, right there, that could be some fun framework right there, like, with the buttons, but
I love the way your mind works. like exactly what you're thinking, like how you're thinking more about how the rotary is going to work for us visually than anything else.
Yeah, I feel like, because I know that, you know, that obviously the teenager is a key component, but like, what is the phone saying? Which sounds so dumb, but
I mean, yeah, it could be like a Mickey Mouse phone, or it could be like a Graham Bell like phone.
Yeah, exactly.
What is a Graham Bell phone? Because is that what I'm Never mind. I'm thinking of, isn't there some kind of like...
The Grand Bell phone is the one with like the two things on each side of the string or whatever. Mm-hmm.
It's got the little like, I don't know, the cone that you like hang up and then like pull.
Yes.
Wasn't there an old rotary phone toy that had like that creepy face on it? You know what I'm talking about? Like that.
Guys, I yes.
Creepy clown face.
Yes. They've remade them like the exact image. I had one when I was a kid and we got one for my daughter because it's that. Right? It's like a classic toy, but yes, it is very creepy.
They have a name?
I know that.
Little had the.
Let's see, little Tyke.
Oh, that thing's terrifying. Phone.
It was one of the toys on Toy Story 3 or something, wasn't it?
Fisher Price, I got it. I'm gonna put it in the chat. Hold on a second.
Definitely like Steph's like sci-fi angle. I think we could lean into that pretty heavily.
There you guys go.
Oh my god, whoa. Yeah. Sorry, the flashback.
A child has one of those?
Oh my gosh.
Get that out of there, John.
I'm obsessed with that. I love it.
That thing's cursed.
There's horror movies that start out that way.
I love it. Listen, the little like clownish imagery, that's amazing.
Yeah. This is a classic. This is a very classic toy.
Has anyone ever done a sci-fi clown?
What's a sci-fi clown look like?
Maybe now's your time to shine. Do it. Sci-fi clown.
What, so is it just that he has the clown makeup and then everything else he just has armor and like all this doodaddy gizmos on him?
That's so funny.
Clearly I know how to define sci-fi very well.
I would read so much more sci-fi if it was written that way.
Yeah.
I like sci-fi. Don't take that the wrong way.
Yeah, fair. I feel like a lot of sci-fi, and I'm not trying to like bash the genre. It's an incredible like genre, but I feel like whenever people think of it, like there's a very specific idea and like visuals that they follow through where I'm like, it doesn't have to be that, you know? Like you could literally make it anything, but it's got, you know, like those like hidden little laws that people have to, like, feel the pressure to follow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very like reined in by like Star Trek or Star Wars and
mm-hmm.
Exactly. They're like, well, it's got to be that.
Yeah.
Or even Marvel, I guess, nowadays kind of has a hold
on. Do you guys have any ideas about which or what things could happen, couldn't be involved?
So you on the other side of it, I was thinking just based on like the Fisher Price version of the toy, I was thinking like, I guess I still have some horror on the brain, like maybe
the teenager, horror's so like, good.
Like looks in, maybe it's like a babysitter, for example, mm-hmm. and like they go in to check on the kid and that toy is like sitting in the middle of the room when they open the door and like it's perplexed, but not because it's a rotary dial phone, but because it's like a creepy toy sitting in the, and it like follows the teenager around the room or follows them around the house, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Every single
kind of like thinking.
What if, like, if you're trying to go a horror route, maybe this teenager is hearing noises throughout the house that are really creepy and terrifying. Mm-hmm. Is trying to call, imagine this teenager's like babysitting or something, trying to call the like owners of the house. I don't know, maybe it's not them on the other line. Maybe it's like this rotary phone that just like has the phone open and it's like speaking through its own mm-hmm. phone, like in voices.
Yeah.
A little.
Yeah, I'm trying to like.
A lot, but that's just what I started thinking about.
To like even like break it open a little even more, like maybe it's like an mm-hmm. old house and they're house watching for like an old lady or something. And like it's just filled with like all these weird looking phones, like some people have like cuckoo clocks. Like that one's just filled with like vintage looking phones.
I really like that.
Yeah,
the visuals there are really strong because you know, like when you think of phone inherently, what do you think of? Like talking, connection, wires, reach, breach, and it's like I feel like the phone itself. Like you see this room full of these phones, but then like what if what catches whatever their attention is kind of maybe this is goofy, but I guess it depends on how you render it. Like the phone, I feel like the main focus of this phone esque object. Doesn't have to be a phone exactly, but like this, because like the way that these look to me, also, I know this is silly, but they remind me of lockers. So what if this is an object shaped like this in a similar function, however it acts as a lock that this teenager accidentally opens? Like, okay, dials, yeah, dials open, like, you know what I mean?
Oh,
it's like a secret yeah, door.
Yes, yeah.
That's cool.
So many high concept directions to take this from, like, the rotary.
So yeah, it's like other, yeah, like the idea of a rotary phone seems like otherworldly or foreign, yes, in some way. Mm-hmm. So there's, I think there's an element of that that can play into the comic, whether it's horror or like,
sounds like a,
like opening a secret,
like a mixture of like a horror and like a puzzle to be solved based on the, mm-hmm, the phones there. I've never seen it, but I have no idea if this is anything like the plot, but isn't there like a book or a movie, like House with a Clock in Its Walls or something? That,
isn't that the one with Jack Black?
Yeah, is that anything like this?
What movie?
The house. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. House, clock, walls.
Some of us have seen it, I guess.
Goosebumps.
Me included.
It's called The House with a Clock in Its Walls. A very original title, clearly. Oh, it's based off a novel. In 1955, after his parents are killed in a car crash, 10-year-old Louis Barnevelt moves to live with his uncle Jonathan in New Zebedee, Michigan. All he has left of his parents is a magic eight ball they have given him and a family photograph. Upon entering his new home, he meets Jonathan's neighbor's best friend. Okay, I don't need a plot synopsis. I just need like a quick,
where is the clock?
The film follows young boy Lewis, who is sent to live with his uncle in a creaky old house. He soon learns it was previously inhabited by an evil warlock.
Hell yeah. Oh.
Okay. And the warlock is Jack Black, I would assume.
No idea. I brought it up, but I haven't seen it.
When you think of Warlock, Eli Roth directed this? You know, horror guy? Anyways, where are we going with this?
I think we're on board with like the house being full of clock related, or not? No, not clock, sure. Phone related objects.
So yes, for some reason those two kind of get jumbled in together in my head.
So, is it that so all the phone objects will all be different versions of phones or different parts of phones?
Oh, different parts of phones. What does the inside of a rotary look like?
Oh, let's see.
That is fun. What is that chaos?
A rotary phone?
Oh, they look like a music box. Am I looking at the wrong thing? No. Oh, that's what they look like.
I'm looking it up.
There's one. This image here that I'm about to drop in the chat. Sounds like this. I wish we had a video component, but like this, I see eyes right there.
Yeah.
And I just see like that thing walking around.
That's haunting. I also like the idea of like hearing the phone ring if there's lots of phones and then them not knowing which phone the ring is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So they like have to like look around and then once they get to the right phone, they hear like a creepy voice or something. I don't know.
What if every single one of these phones, including the extremely creepy one who may or may not be the leader, all of them have like actual faces hidden somewhere. Like they're all communicating with each other to torment this teenager. That's as far as I got.
Damn.
Like, you know how in a lot of horror stories, you've got one singular tormentor, but this house is full of them, mm-hmm, and it's all of the phones. And of course, the teenager can't call his, her, their way out of it because any call, mm-hmm, that the teenager makes is redirected by these sinister phones.
So we're saying phones plural, but mm-hmm, you said something earlier that kind of triggered something in my head. What if you're talking about like how they're all hidden faces and all that stuff, but what if it is everything, there's all these things there, but it's like a shared brain.
Hive mind.
Just every phone is separate.
Ooh.
Yes, Hive Mind. Where did I get that from? Eternals. That threw it to my head.
I have a real desire to make some kind of telephone game joke in here.
Ooh. Oh, that's a fun idea.
I was thinking, as you were describing this, not the last day, but the second last, where the phones are reaching out, like the sound of the phone is reaching out to them, whether it's voices or whatever that may be. My brain was like, but what if this person's at a sleepover, but like the groups are not necessarily like on good terms, but you know, they're teenagers, this is what they do. But where the main is kind of left alone and they hear the gossip in the other room, but when they go to be confrontational, it's not the same room, it's not the same layout. Oh. It is the phones.
Phones are like messing with the teenagers. That
that wording makes it sound like this is like anti-phone propaganda.
Well, they're evil phones. I mean, I need to scroll away from this creepy toy because it is like just looks malicious and evil, and I can't stop putting that into the story. It looks like it wants to like cause some real chaos. I mean, that is like a true fear that that people have now. I mean, that phones are listening to everything we're saying. Obviously not a rotary phone, but I've been picturing this as occurring in the modern day. Like there is a rotary phone, but there's like all kinds of other phones too.
Or maybe the rotary phone gets jealous of all the attention the smartphone gets or something. So it tries to like throw
it. I'm smart too.
Thank God we don't have to ask voice acting. Yeah. Jeez, dude. Creeper
Leo. Getting a little too comfortable in these latest episodes.
Someone's unwinding a little bit too hard.
We have like the either, I guess, goal of the comic. Like, is it the goal for the teenager to multiple teenagers to get like just kind of tormented by the phones, or is it like?
Well, what was the original one? The original one said the teenager. So I feel like we have one lone teenager just lost.
This right. Kind and of because I feel like inherently, like the aspect of phones, I feel like kind of goes hand in hand with loneliness. You know, it's a source of contact, just like a source of reach. So it's like, I feel like this is a very, like, I don't know, this is such a loaded state, like a line. Because phones already stand for so much, let alone just rotary phones.
This is deep. Oh, I like that.
Who would have thought the crazy clown phone?
Maybe we should try and decide on like what our quote unquote protagonist teenager is aiming to do.
Yeah, whether they're like. So we're working on they're in a house. We don't know if it's the old house full of phones or if it's the one phone or if they're babysitting or if they're house watching or house sitting. So yeah, what are they ostensibly doing where they're making contact with this phone?
They're at an Airbnb.
Go.
Well, yeah, there is some element of that being in a strange house and not being familiar with like the
supposedly you would book an Airbnb through your phone. And therefore, who else could be on the other end of that phone than this evil looking thing that I really need to get off of my screen?
It's taken over your soul. So what if it's, you know, rents this Airbnb and whatever it's inside the house. Let's say it's 1 o'clock for 1 o'clock clocks. One phone, for example. You know, the guy gets there. I don't know how Airbnbs work, but the keys are there. He just walks in, and there's just a simple note: make yourself at home. Do not answer the phone.
Oh, yeah.
Or do not dial up. If you need to make a phone call, use your cell. Do not use the landline. What the hell is a landline?
Is the, because I know this is like not supposed to be character driven solely, but I'm trying to like think, this character that's going to this Airbnb, are they on like, are they running away from their problems? Are they here alone? Is it a vacation?
Alone is always scarier for going the horror route.
Mm-hmm.
But why? I think what Steph's trying to get to is like, why
are
they? Yeah.
Right, like they're alone, but why are they? Why did they decide to go to the Airbnb? They just needed some time for themselves, or
because right there we'd have like the established stress of some kind on like the reader's mind.
Stress from overuse of phone. It's a phone, smartphone cleanse.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it's kind of like social media has defeated this person. You know, posted something and they just got bullied on it. Okay. I don't want to take bullying lightly, just something a little bit more light. I don't want to, because even though it's going to be horror, I always feel like we kind of put a little bit of fun behind it, and I definitely don't want to trigger anything like that. So it could be something with social media, but not just maybe
it could be just like a technology detox or something.
Going to my phone, like you know how on iPhone, after, I don't know if it does it after a week or after a day, but it says you're up this much percent since last week on your phone.
God, I hate that shit. So that should call out every damn time.
And we could turn it off, but we don't want to.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I need that call out. Get me off this fucking thing.
So maybe the first panel is just like you could see a person looking at their phone, and it says your usage is something astronomical, is that your usage is, and it glitches out this much percent since since last week you've used your phone 1,257 more percent than last week. And he's like, oh,
God, a reason to book some place that is like an old kind of antique type place that only has older phones in it.
Yeah, so like we like drop in some like phone imagery, like with the smartphone, and then I don't know, you like visually you just kind of like set that up, and then you maybe like when he gets there he sees that there's no service or something, and he like sighs a sigh of relief, and then he gets in there and then he sees phones everywhere.
No bars, thank God.
Because I'm trying to like establish like what is the reason that then they use it? Like what's the panic of them needing the phone? Like the landline? Because I get, because my brain like is really attached to horror things. So if this is like lame, let me know. But
we're on the same.
I think we're all on board.
Okay, cool, great. Okay, great. Because if it's the aspect of, they're here on a break or they're running away, not from danger, but just troubles, whatever. But they keep eyeing their phone, but they keep looking away and they're like, shit, like, I don't want to deal with this, but I do, but I don't. But then when they finally make that decision, their phone is dead. They look for their charger. They do not have it. There's the landline.
Yeah, so I guess maybe then they have to like, maybe it wouldn't just be like their phone usage is up. Maybe they're like, it's like some sort of like interpersonal conflict that I guess we always go back to like a relationship or something. Yeah, but
it doesn't even have to like, be specified. Just, there's this issue. I have to deal with this itch, but I can't scratch it.
Yeah, it would have to be somebody they could call, because that would be the reason to phone them on the landline.
I mean, you look at that Fisher Price toy, that's going to gnaw away at you pretty quickly if that thing's that's moving around and speaking to you. And
I want the phone, the smartphone, to be a case of that.
Is there a,
what if it's like that? That's the phone, but, it was saved out of a fire. So, it's a little burnt up.
Oh my gosh.
I think I'm going to give Darren nightmares.
Honestly, I had like some strange nightmares about the last recorded episode, which was which was not horror at all.
No, I just saw it on the.
I just saw the chat. Sorry.
What you had? You had about yesterday's episode or our last episode?
I don't know how much to.
It was a dream.
We'll probably release that one before this one comes out.
Well, you can just tell us about the dream, and you don't have to tell us about the
episode. Well, I don't know. There were like this. There was this. It's completely absurd. There was this army of toddlers, and they were running away from these. I guess I was one of them, or I was with them, or something. I'm not sure. But we were all running away from these somewhere between like somebody in a hazmat suit, a minion, and like those Among Us characters, but like really tall. And they were like all chasing us and like either trying to capture us or kill us. It had something to do with that because of the army of toddlers.
But no raccoons.
No, I don't think there were any raccoons in it. Raccoons would have been the good guys in the story, I'm sure. Yeah, comics on the spot. Even nightmares.
God, that's a spin-off show. Just like people come on and just say the most messed up shit.
Or they had to come up with like a ghost story
on the spot. That sounds pretty fun too. You think we have enough to break it down into 3 pages and maybe figure out how to get it to an end that way? Or should we keep tossing it around first?
I was just gonna say, I'm not quite sure like what the ending should be. Is it something positive we could find out when everyone's done.
Feasibly, that could be the difference in the comics that is fun to find out after the fact.
Yeah,
I mean, we'd have to have like a good sense of what, because I was thinking like, I don't know, maybe we can cut this out if it ends up being what the ending is. But like, if it is just that he's just so obsessed with like his phone and he's trying to get away, like maybe like when he answers the phone for whatever reason at the end, he gets sucked in. And like the ending is just like the rotary phone thing, just like hanging there with like a dial tone.
I can picture that exactly. Like it's like the phone hanging is in focus and everything else is out of focus.
Yeah. You one further. The character like swirls around into the rotary phone. You zoom into the actual rotary like holes and you see other teenagers trapped within each hole.
What?
Steph, it's like you were saying, there's so many cool ideas you can do with
this. This one could be the most far reaching, like you could come up with so many different things for it.
Exactly. It's because like, you know, like phones, we think of wires, like also now smartphones, you use Waze, but like there's like this whole level of surrealism that, you know, could be brought into it where like, not like right off the bat, there's just this unsettlingness to the story where it's like when the reader first steps into it, it's like, okay, everything seems fine. But then the closer you get to the end, it's like, where are they right now? What is going on that these things are happening? The distortion, like, there's so much you could do. It's fun. So, also find it kind of funny that it's a teenager going to an Airbnb. Damn.
Yeah, I guess they'd have to be 18 to get an Airbnb, wouldn't they? Or,
I mean, it could be anything. You never know. Maybe their parents have the money. Maybe they're close. Maybe they're distant. Maybe their parents kicked them out.
Yeah.
Like that right there, that's another layer to this character that doesn't need, you know, that much explanation. You just see it and you're like, wait. I'm sorry.
No.
I would have thought that this was going to be so deep.
That's literally like my writing.
Layers upon
like.
Layers.
Like, you know, like the fucking Pepe Silvio meme? Like, that's what that shit looks like.
No, I think that's kind of a good, like, different thing to throw in the mix, because I think sometimes, like, at least for me, I get too hung up on, like character motivation and, like, plot versus just, like, circling around a theme and figuring out what interesting ideas come out of that. So I think it's a good.
And I always have to get reeled back in from playing off like a bunch of bad jokes and really, really dumb, obvious humor.
I think being able to do humor, though, is really impressive. I cannot, like, crack a joke in my comic to, like, save my life. Like,
I'm not sure if I can script one. I think.
Yeah, it comes more out of the visuals. Like,
Yeah.
Because, I couldn't come up with, like, a structured joke, like with beats. That's why I think we talked about it before, but I was never really good at coming up with like comic strips, like to plan out a joke structure with like three or four panels like that.
Anything I play out for comedy is usually just absurdist. It's not like punchlines. Yeah, because the funniest thing Chef Boyardee comic that I did was just that I made it in the first place. That I got so wound up about the story of it. It's not like I'm like setting up a punchline in it.
Right, yeah. But I think it still works though without like a it's just like the pulling out like this really absurd detail about a commercial from 20 years ago or 30 years ago maybe.
I love the leaning into horror that we've done on this one because I haven't had enough practice in it, and based on the one that I did do, like
I clearly had a heavy.
I'm excited to try out some more.
Oh hell yeah, it's so exciting! I'm excited to see more from you, but with it, I feel like horror is such like a powerful tool.
Yeah, it's like not just like being able to come up with like a scary story. It's also just like being able to like, convey that with your.
Oh, sorry, because like anything can be drawn scary, but it doesn't mean anything if you're not like whether it's building up to it or like somehow affecting other senses where like, you know, like something feels slimy in the air or like, but you don't, you know, like then it's just going to fall through.
Right. Yeah. Like how you pace, like revealing a monster or like you said, it's not just about like rendering like a really creepy looking monster. It's like how that's revealed to the reader or like whether it's like a tense situation.
I always get more out of the sense of dread.
Yeah. Cause I'm all about like drawing gross monsters, but that's not necessarily like what it means to come up with a horror story necessarily. Like I've been reading it for the first time. So there's some like stuff I'm learning, but yeah.
Yeah. Damn, it all ties together. Yeah.
You're picking up some stuff from the crazy clown, huh? It all comes back to the clown.
I think we have a good premise.
I think so, too.
Especially if we're not trying to explicitly decide an ending for everybody right here and now. I think we do have enough to kind of break it down.
Nice.
Yeah.
We want to like go through the pages as we have them minus the ending.
Okay.
Page number one. Anyone?
So page one, I'll start. Page one, our teenager is trying to run away from a problem or get away from technology as represented by their phone. So they book an Airbnb, and that I think is pretty much all we can set up on page one. Maybe they get there, they see the house at the end of page one. And then on page two, does anyone want to take the next page?
Maybe we don't have page two, so we're fine. But basically, I think the phones, there's something nefarious going on with the phones. At some point, there's a breaking point in which the teenager who is against using his, her, or their own phone, hits that breaking point and decides to try it out, but to no avail. And then page three is the even lesser clear one. because we're taking it in our own directions, I guess.
I think we can maybe build it up some more on page two, where the tension, you know, goes up on page two, and then on page three, that's when they're forced to use the phone that early on will signal there's something not right about the phone, so that like the note or whatever, they read that and it says not to use the landline or not to use the phone in the hallway or the phone in the living room, whatever, wherever it ends up being. And then on page three, that's when they are forced to use it. And then scary ending.
Yeah.
So I think we have a good, I mean, we know what each page is doing.
At least enough for the surprise of what each artist comes up with. Will be fun to see.
Yeah. I am excited.
Awesome sauce. All right. Well, that was a wild ride. Thank you, Stephanie, once again for coming on and really making us go deeper than we probably would have gone, and just kind of like untapping this extreme potential for this wacky story.
Thank you for listening to my rambling and having me on here.
Oh no, please. You're welcome back to ramble.
Wouldn't call it ramblings. Big insight. Big, very good insight.
Absolutely. Yes. Please come back anytime. You're more than welcome to come by, and we can't wait to see what comes together tonight. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, hell yeah. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. I love it. Hell yeah. Let's do it. All right, Stephanie, so where can the people of the internet find you? Where are your pretty pictures hosted? Where can we see
you? Oh my gosh.
Plug yourself.
Thank you. Okay. My Twitter is Steph_art. And my website is just StephanieBruchet.com. I think, I feel like that's like the nicest place to like look at everything. But yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing that. If anyone wants to check out our stuff, you can check it out at Comics on the Pod. The website is comicsonthepod.com. You can follow me on Twitter at John S. Bernardo. You can follow Sam at DSamOwen on Twitter. You can follow Darren at DarrenVote, V-O-G-T, art. And that's our show. So thanks for listening. Enjoy the book. Enjoy the issue once it's done. And we'll see you on the next episode.
Thank you.
Bye.
Have a great night, everybody.